Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him. He has so much to say to those who want to know him, those who take him seriously, those who are sincere. But those that really don't want to know the Lord, they really won't know the Lord. Knowing God is the best desire a man can have. It's not an accident. They that know the Lord, they do it on purpose. It's not an accident. They want to know. They're curious. When they see more light, they will come to it. When there's something more knowledge available, they receive it. When they are welcome to receive more knowledge, they gladly receive more knowledge. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, you know, this is a good example of it. All right. This is Isaiah 7, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. They were fighting, so the Lord came to encourage King Ahaz. Verse 2 says, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And then his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. This is why the Lord came to encourage Ahaz. See, when he heard bad news, it moved him. And when he was moved, the people were moved. They were entering into fear is what they were doing. Verse 3 says, Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool of the in the highway of the fuller's field, and say to them, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. And the Lord spoke this to him. That these were the things, this was the plot that we just saw. And then verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. And he told him why. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. Now, let me say this again, verse 8. He's talking to Ahaz, and he's trying to encourage him and let him know the facts. See, the Holy Spirit will give you the facts in your life. He said the head of Syria is Damascus. Okay, the country of Syria, let's say the armies of Syria look grand, but Damascus, then let's say they're not organized. Or they're weak. The head of Syria is Damascus. Now, Damascus is a city of Syria. And the head of Damascus is Rezin. And that's another inferior situation. The king Rezin, the king of the one that, you know, the king of Syria. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. Okay, let's put it to you more mildly. Let's say that it was a city. Let's say it's a place where things don't just, you know, just weak. It's not strong. It's not like a major city of people that's, let's say well organized in business, but more like a place where things don't go right, as if they're not a threat. So the head of Syria is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. Okay. Because Ephraim was plotting with them, see. And people that's making themselves look strong are really not that strong. In other words, in verse 8, the Lord is showing Ahaz, you really don't have much to fear. You don't have anything to fear. It's kind of like if somebody threatened you and you found out it was a group of clowns, you know. Let's say, you know, these men are after you. Who are these men? Three Stooges. The Three Stooges were after you, so, you know, that's like gnats on the fence. Why, what are you telling me this for? In other words, the Lord is breaking it down for him. Then he goes on in verse 9, the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. And then he said this, if you will not believe, surely you should not be established. Now, they couldn't prevail against Ahaz. But Ahaz was beginning to fear. And see, the way the enemy wins, if you get in fear, it's kind of like the lion roaring and striking fear in the hearts of the gazelles. And they scatter. Well, then the female lions select the weakest target. And they eat for the day. Because they're not thinking right when they're afraid. So the gazelles are faster. But when you're afraid, you don't perform as well. And he was beginning to be moved by people that were lesser soldiers than he was. And also, the Lord did not give them victory over Judah. They were plotting against Judah because Satan wanted to destroy Judah. But they couldn't win. So the Lord came to him and showed him the facts. Then he wanted to inspire him forward. Verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in hell or in the height above. Now, I know from the kings that Ahaz was not a godly man. So the Lord has responsibility to the covenant. So he's trying to work with Ahaz. Ahaz is fighting, and he happens to be still the country. God can still use the country and keep covenant with it. So the Lord spoke to Ahaz saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it in hell or in heaven, in the depth or in the height above. Now, Ahaz, understanding the kind of man, I said, what kind of man is this? So I went back and researched him in the Kings, and also he's in the Chronicles too. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now he had a chance to learn something that's very important, but he refused to ask. He said, I won't tempt the Lord. Now, verse 13, being honest with you, I always wonder, who is the he? And I believe it's the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? I even considered it being Isaiah talking. And then I read it another way, wondering if it was Ahaz talking. But nevertheless, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, verse 14 shows us that this knowledge came from the Lord, because this is not in the wheelhouse of a half-hearted man that won't ask God the questions. Ahaz was not like Gideon. Gideon asked for more knowledge. He put out a fleece at least to see, make sure he was on the right page with God. He did. He sought the Lord about what God had given him to do. He made steps to stay in faith. But see, so I'm believing that the he is either Isaiah speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit or the Lord himself. Because verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now this kind of knowledge don't come from men. It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's revealed at the precise time. So it came from God. So God is ultimately speaking. Now I understand that the kings were like David and Saul. They were prophets as well as kings. So I wondered about that several different ways. But I understand that this knowledge came from God, verse 14. Then he said, I read it again. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Mary conceived and bore Jesus, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now watch this. And you can, to everybody hearing, this question applies. Ask the sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it in the depth or in the height above. And this was the sign that the Lord would give us. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. Shall call his name, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then he said, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And Jesus did that. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So by the time Jesus came, the land was forsaken of both of her kings, kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Then he said this. See, Jesus is the one we focus on. What are you doing with the knowledge of Jesus? Is he just another man to you, a liar, or is he the Son of God? And you can ask that question in heaven or hell, literally. People who dismiss Jesus, they go to hell because of it, because he's the only way out of the mess that we're in. And they that believed on him, they go to heaven if they live for him. It's not enough just to know of him, but to live the life of God. Believe on him and walk in his way. But the only people that would do that are people that are sincere. They really care about knowing the things of God. Half-hearted people always look around to the corner for something else. And even people don't give it a chance. But half-hearted people, the enemy knows how to swindle them out of it. So it's necessary for the Antichrist to exist, because everything that's not connected to God on purpose and sincerely, he will snatch it away. See, and he's going to expose the heart of men. See, when God removed the sincere church in the rapture, the insincere church will be left, and the Antichrist will conquer them, and some of them are going to give in to his wishes and take his mark, and they're going to receive his tattoo for an easy 7-year life, and they're not going to really enjoy 7 years. They're going to get, we all know what's going to happen. It's going to be bad. The locusts are going to attack them. They're going to wish they were dead, try to kill themselves, and can't die for 5 months. So it's going to be a disaster. So, but he's going to persuade people that's half-hearted. People that really don't want to know God are going to be seduced by that Antichrist. But see, the onlooking world, to them, if you say you're a Christian, the world can't tell if you're sincere or insincere. And also, the men and women of God can't tell who's sincere and who's not sincere. And to be honest with you, I can't tell when people are sincere and insincere unless the Lord reveals it. Because people do things that can seem one way or the other. And I don't know how to detect. And the angels can't tell who's sincere and who's not. They know that there are tares. They can detect the tare. But the Lord said, let them grow together to the harvest, because you might take up some of the wheat with the tare. Because tares cause people to, you know, they can make a person look bad. They slander people. And if you follow anybody around long enough, you can see flaws, and people can point out your flaws, and you're there. they'll have you thinking that's a tear, and that's not the case. Okay. He said, the Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come. And from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. Now, the king of Assyria is just like the Antichrist in our day. He's coming to take these people away to his land as slaves. Verse 18, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss forth for the fly that is in the uttermost parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest, all of them, in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely, by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet. And it shall also consume the beard. The king of Assyria, he took away everything that was insincere. And he took them out of their land and made them, I don't know, slave servants. They couldn't go back to their land and they had to serve him. And but they did this happened because of their evil idolatry. So insincerity causes a fall. Insincerity causes a war to happen. Insincerity causes a person like the Antichrist to be necessary in the first place to get people out of God's path, because the Lord is going to receive holy people. People that want, he can't take everybody to heaven. He desires for everybody to come on his terms, but people that try to come on their terms, that, you know, just like we covered in the other broadcast, where Jesus, he had to tell the people that if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me. Every now and then, the Lord has to divide the sheep from the goat, the tare from the wheat. Okay, so he said in verse 21, and it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. In the tribulation period, I think it was Zechariah or Zephaniah. Oh man, I'm rusty. The Lord is going to divide a mountain and cleave it in half both ways. And that's where he's going to protect his people that flee to the mountains when they flee Jerusalem. Okay, that's what he's talking about, I believe. And and it should come to pass for the, now this is future, it should come to pass for the abundance of milk that they should give, he shall eat butter, and for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. See, God is going to protect his sincere people. Now remember something, there are sincere people in every situation, whether it's pre-rapture, post-rapture, when all the countries are coming against Israel, when the Antichrist is on the scene, there will be people that will survive the Antichrist attacks, because they're going to survive the tribulation period. And there are many people that's going to get killed. And a third of the people on earth will be destroyed through war. Okay, but that's, God always has a remnant that Satan can't handle. Because they really love God and want to know him, they're going to be protected. Verse 23 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that every place where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. There's going to be so many grapevines worth 1,000 silverlings, and it shall be in place of briars and thorns. With arrows and bows shall men come there, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. Everywhere that there's evil men, you're going to have evil plants, briars and thorns, and no food. So they're going to come against the hills of Jerusalem to take what God's people have. But watch this. And on the hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the trading of lesser cattle, because God is with them. See, the key word is Emmanuel. God is with them. Some people don't have ears to hear. And when you receive Jesus, if you believe his word, you are safe. And Satan can't stop you. When you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your King, and you're willing to do all of his word, and you stand for what's right, Satan, you outclass Satan because God is with you to anoint you. Remember, Jesus, when he ascended to the lowest part of hell, he took our sins, Ephesians, according to Ephesians 4. Look at this. He said, wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above. You see that word far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we no more, or henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, he's the head of us. And when we make Jesus our Lord, he's our head. So all we have to do is we obey him. We outclass the world. We outclass evil men, and we outclass Satan and the angels protect us. At our will, we can rebuke and tear down and throw down the things of darkness. I used to tell Satan, in this neighborhood, you can't kill anybody. You can't hurt anybody whenever the gunfights were prone to break out. Every night on the weekend, I would be ready to do warfare, and I would tell Satan ahead of time, because I learned you can fight him ahead. You don't have to wait till he do something. You can break his yokes before he began. You know the drug dealers are already crazy and stirred up. So I say, Satan, you can't use them tonight to hurt and kill nobody. So when I heard the escalating voices outside, because I lived across the street from a drug house, I always heard activity. When I heard angry activity going on, I would rebuke it. And nobody ever died those years, those 6 years. Now, you can do it too. So, as you go forward in the Lord, watch this. As we speak the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things. So even things we don't know about, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We work together with others. See, the work that God gives you to do, as you're faithful, it's going to bless people and cause people to come to order as well. And then God is also working across the city or wherever with other people that's doing the same thing. And you don't even know each other, but you're a part of a body doing one work. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth or from now on walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, just like Ahaz. You know, Ahaz was one of those who burned his children in the fires of Molech. So the things that the Gentiles did, they walked in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's why he wouldn't ask the Lord questions to get understanding. He said, he copped out saying, I won't ask or tempt the Lord. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now watch this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And when you read the discourse of Ahaz, he didn't win wars. You just have to read it for yourself. Verse 24, and that so he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. If you think like the devil, you lost. And if you don't stop thinking like the devil, it's going to be manifested that you lost. You have to think like God and not like Satan in anything, whether it be in foolish rituals. Now, that's not the problem that like it was before. Many people, after the light of Jesus has shone on earth, people don't worship idols, especially in this country, like they used to. But some in some pockets of the world, they do. But it says, be ye angry and sin not. So anger is a problem. Satan can use an angry man or a lustful man or a greedy man. Or a proud man. He can mess a person like that up. That's why he said, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't be greedy. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Now he's becoming fruitful. That's the goal. That's what we should be. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And then he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then the last warning, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why? Because if you think like the devil, he's going to draft you into his kingdom and mess you up. Then he said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Forgiveness is very important to the life of sincere believers. Don't let anybody get you goat. Don't let anybody make you mad and get you in strife. You have to guard your heart against strife, because that's another path that will cause you to be defeated by the enemy. You can't fight him if you think like him. He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Easy, you know, tenderhearted means easy to forgive and believe the best of others. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, why would we want to think the best of others, being tenderhearted towards others? Remember something. Every man is made in God's image. And the things that go wrong, Satan causes it. Everything that's not right, Satan is behind it. Not me. Don't get mad at foot soldiers. Don't get in strife with foot soldiers. Don't get in strife with your brothers or sisters in the Lord. And don't get in strife with sinners, because if they're sinners, they can't help but be sinners. If they won't believe on Jesus, or never have believed on Jesus, they just can't live the life of God. So when people do you wrong, don't sweat it, because God did you right. And it doesn't matter what you lose in this life. If you lose something because you love God, remember something. The Lord can give you back the years that the cankerworm ate. You may be married to somebody and they do you wrong and leave you and forsake you and run off with somebody else and steal your money and take your house and put you in child support or something. Forgive that, but that's not going to stop you. The Lord will can help you recover everything that was taken. And some people, child support is a good thing. It was designed to be a good thing, since I mentioned it. Some people are wise and they do what they're supposed to, and they take care of the kids. But I've heard the disaster stories where a man or a woman that gets child support, or even men that get it, they'll give the money to somebody they like and not even help the children. Now, that's when the Lord will avenge. So, you know, the angels are here to help us. And you have rights before the kingdom of God. But you don't have to get in strife just because some people are evil. The point is this. Walk in the covenant of God. Do all that's in his heart. And the Lord will show himself strong in your life. And cause you to be covenant appropriate. You have to be covenant appropriate. You have to be hungry for the things of God. Because the enemy is trying to steal that hunger of God. You don't want to be like Ahaz was and not desire the things of God and take the things of God lightly. You want to do what Jesus did and learn who your Father is, learn his ways, make him your Lord. Talk to your Father. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Seeing, that's another problem I've seen so many times. So many Christians don't seem to have much of an appetite for listening, sitting at the feet of the Holy Spirit and listening to what he has to say. When the Holy Spirit teaches me, I thank him every time he does. And that's so important to me. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.